I think if any of you know that I've, you know, trying to live a little healthy life, right? So I did some exercise and lost some weight, and it's been a good experience to do that. But one of the things that I also realized is that as I sometimes go out to dinner or sit there and place an order, I know that, let's say I decide, okay, well, I'm going to have, you know, a hamburger and some fries, right? Or, and then an Oreo dessert after. And I'm sitting across someone who's also trying to be healthy, and the person orders a salad, right? And says, no, I don't have dessert. I say, so, oh, do you think you're so good, right? You know, I have these little, like, thoughts about, well, are you judging me? You know, because I want French fries, really. Even though I know that they're probably not healthy for me, and especially if they also know that I have high blood pressure as well and high cholesterol, so I shouldn't be eating the French fries, and I know that. And so as I'm eating the French fries, knowing I'm not supposed to probably eat French fries for the good of my health, I'm sitting across someone who's saying, I'm sure he knows he's not supposed to eat French fries, you know? I sort of feel that. But how sometimes we feel judged by other people because we know that they're choosing something better than we are, you know, or I should say I am. So I feel like he's judging me because I know better. But in really, in essence, I'm judging myself because they stand there as kind of the test that I should live up to. And I know that that's really what I should be doing, but I don't really want to. And so I would rather say, hey, stop judging me, because I'm going to have this anyway. And what makes you think you're so good, right? I share that with you because if you take a look at the first reading, they have the people who are sort of evil in heart and intent, you know. They're talking about the just man, the just person, as you can say. And it says, he professes to have knowledge of God and styles himself as a child of God. And to us, he censures our thoughts. Merely to see him is a hardship for us. And sometimes when we're doing something wrong, to have that sort of external conscience of someone who knows we're doing something wrong and knows that probably we shouldn't be doing it, we then sort of feel like to even have someone good in our presence when we're doing something wrong is sometimes a hard thing for us, right? Because it's a little hardship. It's like, I sort of know better. And that person stands there as my external conscience. And in the Book of Wisdom, they're talking about that in the just man. And of course, for us as Christians, we know that that's who Jesus was, as he walked along as someone who stood for goodness. That for those who did not agree, it was hard to be in his presence because they knew better. And then that's why it says, because his life is not like ours, and his ways are different. He judges us, debased. Now, not necessarily he judges, but they feel judged. And they really judge himself because he stands aloof, right? It says, from our paths of things impure. So it's like, you know, I'm not going there. I'm not about that. And so they feel like, well, what, are you too good for what we're doing? And so we often can feel like we're being judged. And certainly these people are feeling that about the just man who does the good thing, does the right thing, and won't go down those roads with people who go down those roads. And it says, for the just one with the Son of God, he will defend him. And so they have this idea that, you know what? It's better to just remove him because I can't stand the judgment that I place on myself when I'm in his presence. So it's better that I either drag him down or get him away from my presence. And then when you look at the reading, we're getting closer and closer to the Paschal mystery, the Triduum, and the suffering of Christ. And so we're going to read these readings about how the people can't stand to have Jesus sort of around them because he reminds them of the bad that they have and the good that they should be about. And that's why you see in the gospel the growing tension and anger with Christ among those religious authorities. And I share that with you for two reasons. One is that oftentimes if we feel judged by others, probably it's our own conscience dealing with it, dealing with the idea that maybe we're not doing what we should be doing. If our husband or our wife won't agree with us and know that probably we shouldn't be doing it, that would be one thing. And sometimes we lash out and would rather kind of say some nasty things to the other person instead, rather than recognize that maybe he or she is standing for what's right, and I'm, you know, sort of trying to remove that instead so I can win my way. And the other thing is, if you make the decision to be Christ-like and to stand for what is right and good, I think we have to deal with the fact that people will not agree with you. And that sometimes, not that we go around judging and that's not what we should be doing, but as you stand for what is good and right and holy and that's what you should be about, then you recognize that for those who think otherwise, and sometimes it's not about you, it's about what they feel in their own conscience, about what they're doing. And so our goal is to, in the midst, is to stay the right course and deal with it. Inviting other people to the truth that you believe, but not necessarily to cut them down or to judge them at all. Because that's what Christ is feeling, and this is the growing tension. It was much easier to remove Christ from their midst than to have them deal with what Christ had to say. If we find ourselves in either one of those, then we could easily do it, to recognize that kind of truth. And then always search for what is right in our midst.